Okay, so next we're going to hear from Rachel Simpson, and we're here today to launch her debut chapbook, Eiderdam, which, as I already said, is gone. It fills me with both pride and disbelief that Apartment 9 has been trusted with this responsibility. Rachel's been writing in Ottawa for years now. I first came to know her and her work through a magazine at Carleton called Inwards, that many of you know about, where she always stood out as mature beyond her years. It seemed like every semester we had a plan to print her first chapbook, and it never seemed to happen. There was even talk of a collaborative chapbook with Peter Gibbon, who's since gone, and I think maybe one or two of those saw the light of day, but the full manuscript somehow stayed hidden. So here we are today with Eiderdown. I said this yesterday on the radio, and I'm going to say it again. I believe, and I've done no research to confirm this, but I think Rachel holds a curious and unique distinction in Canadian poetry. In 2010, she appeared in a trade anthology, Pith and Rye, Canadian Poetry. It was edited by Susan McMaster. In this book, Rachel appeared alongside Lorna Crozier, Aaron Murray, Don Mackay, a bunch of great young Ottawa writers, as well as Margaret Atwood. I'm going to take a chance and say, I imagine this is hard to disprove, so I'm just going to say it, that Rachel is most likely the first poet in Canada to appear in a trade anthology with Margaret Atwood years before she even had a single chapbook to her name. And her work wasn't out of place. She read last spring at VerseFest beside Gregory Schofield. She's here tonight with Phil Hall and Claudia Coutu Radmore. And but for a last-minute scheduling conflict, she would have read with George Eliot Clark last Friday night. The point is that people in Ottawa have recognized that Rachel is someone we're lucky to have in our community and is someone that we need to hear. She's worked quietly and persistently at her writing for years. I think also there's something to admire in her sort of resistance to publishing too early or too often. If we have to wait 5 or 6 more years for her next chapbook, I think, based on the absurdly high quality of Eiderdown, it will be well worth it. It's a privilege to invite Rachel up here to read.
You might wait longer than 5 years. is this good? Everyone can hear? So thank you, Cameron. Very generous words, and it's been a real pleasure having my first chapbook released with Apartment 9. Very encouraging experience. And thank you, Claudia, for reading. We're all very proud of you and your accomplishment for winning that inaugural prize. Eiderdown is a series of poems written in response to an event that happened at Willard State Hospital in 1995 during the building's teardown, or the institution's teardown. It had been in operation for over 100 years, a mental institution, and when the state decided to close it, we had all kinds of state workers and museum workers rushing there before the demolition crews to see if there was anything that could be rescued. And there were over 400 patient suitcases they found in an abandoned workshop building. It must have been an amazing thing. Just picture it, all these suitcases on rickety shelves, towering above them, dusty light just all around. And of course, when I learned of this, I was quite taken and thought that I might write a few poems out of it. I wrote quite a few more than that. And that's what I'll share with you today. And for those of you who came to the Factory Series reading on Friday, forgive me, I will be reading a few poems today that I read there. Suitcase poems. Suitcases stacked to the ceiling, ringed with rain. It's darkness. Repeated nightfalls seeping through the locks. Others washed by window light remember best the changing length of afternoon, press its fading body to their own. Inside every opening, another opening. The bottle's mouth smaller than the ship. We stand back, poring over detail. Two. If we try to explain this place outside of this place, explain to me where we are. Curators are trained to do this. Position items in such a way the viewer is transported. Earlier, when the snow came blowing under the door, our first instinct was to brush it away. Preservation is a disruption of years. This old attic room strewn with our cameras, this door's expectance of snow. What we think of as neglect, we also find beautiful. 3. We learn to dress ourselves by undressing ourselves. Someone else slipped the shirt over our head, but now it's balled up in the corner, shed like skin. How did it get there? Someone else is asking. Only we know these boots at the toe, long winter walks clipping heels. Leather's distress, step through and laced up tight. This is where the button used to be, but is now rolling across the floor, where someone else will find it. 4. One of us says, unfold what remembers to fold itself back. Each item is a layer disoriented from travel, a space between seeing and recognition. Resist narratives collection. Contents are content as they are. The shaving cup, this eiderdown, holds more than we have room for. 5. While one of us says, souvenirs bring us home. Stories are houses that fill us like visitors. Whether or not we let them in, they hold us up. This shaving cup is base metal, this eiderdown like hair, our strongest delicate material. 6. The suitcases were disturbed long before we touched them, but some had wintered over better than others, shrouded in the lasting odor of mothballs. We've an urge to open windows, every jar of cream and powder, test its quicksilver on the inside of our wrist. Crumbled as a moth's wing, the smelling salts wake us with a secret's resolve. Unsure of what we've found, we listen to the thrum of mice in walls, while our minds run up curtains, think, perhaps we should go downstairs, trudge back to the car's radio silence, its helmet of snow. Or we should stay, move carefully about this crowded room, implore the faces entwined in paper, their barefoot shoes. Under the moth-eaten light, we've run into a table, an accident that we're here at all. But now that we are, dust clings and outlines we can't shake. What touches us most is a feeling of disbelief, drawn by what we can't accept and can't deny. Truth as intimacy instead of precision. Different answers to the same question. What happened to you? Memory is emphatic, its blurred film scratched to reveal or avoid time. We're altered by what doesn't change. Expressions recognized as ours in the face of another. The surprise of a dropped spoon and our quickness to retrieve. 7. Everything is dark at a glimpse. We don't adjust darkness, we adjust light. Moon's phases, an eclipse of doors turning key to lock to hinge. A valise of overnight stretched into years. The suitcases were moments in reverse. Before leaving the house, the entrance hall became the last room in the walkthrough of rooms, the last stuff of air. We return what we embrace, Return things, not as they were, but as they found us. All right, so I could speak a lot on eiderdown and where it comes from. There's a lot of notes at the back of this chapbook for that purpose. And I mean, there's more I could have shared here, and I imagine I'm not done writing on it. This next poem begins with an epigraph from Dr. Thomas Story Kirkbride from his publication On the Construction, Organization, and General Arrangements of Hospitals for the Insane. And I think I'll let him speak on this poem for us. It will be found desirable in practice that the least excited, what is commonly called the best class of patients, should occupy the upper stories and be nearest the center building, while the noisy should be at a distance. This poem is called Fire Trap, the Kirkbride Plan, which is an architectural style for mental institutions of its time period. In the north wing, a glass of water freezes in an hour. You rise from these cool mornings like an arm through a sleeve. Reach for warmth, but first, that shock of ice. You rise from these cool mornings like an arm outstretched. There is nowhere else to go, but you've learned the floor plan like a Victorian pastime. Outstretched, there is nowhere else to go. Dr. Kirkbride made sure of that. See, from the sketch, how the wings form a V, form delusions of ventilation and sunlight. Dr. Kirkbride made sure of that. See, the hospital is a specimen, a bird that cannot fly. Examined, it waits in the draft of the overflow hall. The hospital is a specimen, a bird that flew in on its own, but has now been moved to the north wing and farthest from the door. Flying, it came in on its own. Now, everything is backwards. The main idea, said Dr. Kirkbride, is to expand as needed. The idea is everything is backwards. Support must come from the center. Just so, said the doctor to the architect, we don't catch fire. I think I'll finish with one more, and I just want to say thank you, Raw Sugar, for hosting us here today. It's been wonderful having these hot drinks in the first real day of snow in Ottawa. Thank you, Apartment and Press, of course, for making all of this work accessible to so many people, Claudia's, Phil's, and myself. It's a real honor. This poem is called Synapse, and might even take longer to explain the reason for why I wrote it than to read the poem, but I'll try. One of the case files I looked at when I was researching this project, they of course can't disclose real names, so I don't know her name, but she was a very well-traveled woman, and she had what they called at that time a Saratoga Springs steamer trunk, which essentially meant that you could fit enough clothing in this steamer for a whole summer vacationing in Saratoga Springs, New York. And I found that astounding. And I also thought, wow, you know, it's just so terrible and so hard for me to wrap my head around that many of the people that were institutionalized here at Willard, they came there and they had no idea they would be there for so long. They were institutionalized for the most part the rest of their lives. And they were some incredible people whose stories we will never fully understand. And she was one of them, very well-traveled, well-educated, and I was just really taken by her story. I have never been to Saratoga, but if I do, I should like to pack enough for a Saratoga trunk. In this quaint resort town, known for its seasons, I could last 4 months before wearing out. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rachel. Can we clap again?